Shalom, everyone. This is Pastor Sandy at Soldiers for Christ Community Church, and we are here finishing up last night's Bible study. This is, I would say, a very, very good warning for all of us who are in Christ, and especially for those of us who are in Christ and need just a little push to come out of sin, to not be lukewarm, to be fully submerged in Jesus Christ in these last days, because we are definitely in the last days. And this begins today, the 120th year from the 1900s. This begins the 120th year, and this is the year of the Ascension. So we want people to really look at what God is showing them, look at what God is trying to say to the world, and look at what God has shown us concerning the coronavirus, and not so much the virus and everything, because a lot of it is fear-based through the media. And then there, you know, there's some people that have died of it. But to get into that, I would have to take you through a complete education on that. And like I said, if you really want to know all about that, I think her name is, what was her name? Because I was telling you guys, Dana Ashley, and the name of her YouTube is called the Best News, R-E, in small letters, Coronavirus, You've Heard All Month. And then it says kinda, so she has a she has a sense of humor. And she says, my work goes back to Britain.com and only the viral. And then, well, anyway, she's explaining to you what 60 gigahertz and 5G does to the body, and how they've used it to push this coronavirus, because it's amazing that, you know, you could be a celebrity and get it and go on vacation, and we're quarantined in our home in Australia, or we're quarantined here in Jamaica. But if you look at it, and that's why I love investigative reporter, which I think Dana Ashley is. She's really like an excellent investigative reporter, because you kind of have to look at the whole picture. Like, I was an auditor. There's no way you can look at an audit by looking at two or three accounts. You have to look at them as a whole and compare them, what's the similarities and everything. So the similarity is that, there's my background. Yeah, the similarities was that in Wuhan, China, people did not just get sick and then say, well, 4 months later they died of the virus, right? Or they got sick, and at some time they just collapsed and fell over and died.
Right.
You need to know why that someone else can get it and go to Australia, go on vacation with their wife, and then someone else could get it and just walking around and collapse over and die. So that doesn't look like the same thing, right? So which one of them are dying from the 60 gigahertz 5G, and which one of them are faking that they have the coronavirus so that they can promote you in the media, and which one of them, and why are they promoting it, and are they promoting it so that because they wanted to present the vaccine? I think the vaccine question is out in the United States, so they know that that's not going to happen. The whole thing was structured to destroy. And I would like to praise God Almighty that as of now, more people died of the flu last year without a worldwide panic than have died of the coronavirus with a worldwide panic, okay? So let's praise God. And today's message is a continuation of last night's. And it's a continuation because since we're in the 120th year, it's going to rain. It, the church and the body of Christ is going up. And there are many that God has warned that these days. Now, I don't expect the world to hear the warning or accept the warning. And I'll tell you why. God said, their hearts are hard and they're not going to hear you. Okay? And we'll read about that. But I do want us who are in Christ to understand the difference between living for God and saying you're a Christian.
Right.
Okay? A relationship guides your behavior. Okay? If you're in a relationship, it guides your behavior, how you treat that person. Are you cognizant of their feelings? Are you understanding what you can and cannot do in that relationship? And are you obeying to that? Because even in marriage, there's things that we just can't do. You know, you can't go away for 3 days without calling anybody and then come back. You're single, you could do that. But you know, when you're in a relationship, you have rules. And God, from the beginning with Adam, is all about the relationship, yeah. Okay? Yeah. Where are you, okay? Where are you in your relationship with God? Are you living for God, or is God your religion? Because if I see another Christian said, they went and took shots with the drink shots with their friends because it was their birthday.
Oh, my God.
And then say, and I knew I had to get home early because I had to go to church the next day. that is to me, it's like weird. Like, how did you mix those two? Yeah, like, don't you, if you have the same Holy Spirit, doesn't the Holy Spirit say, you can't drink shots with your friends? I don't care if it is his birthday.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there's rules in relationships, right?
Yeah.
And since I'm in a relationship with God, I'm under some rules. Oh, no, no, it's just it was just a few shots. Okay. I'm just saying I don't understand.
Amen.
Maybe God will, you know.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll see, you know. I'm just saying I would rather show God that I love him through the way I live than through my lip service.
Amen.
Okay? A job well done is better by action than by words. Okay.
You want to pray in?
Yes, I do. I want to pray in right now. And I want to tell Eric Rittenauer, and NM stands for New Mexico.
Oh.
Carlsbad, New Mexico, NM. I was like, how do you get Minnesota out of NM? Somebody said, it stands for Minnesota. I was like, nah. Okay. So let's pray in. Avanu Shaba Shaba in Yi Kadeshimcha. Tavo mehuteke yi atse rotsanaka. Be aret ke asher ne asa be shamaim. Tenlano hayom lechem hukenu. Usilag lano et ashmitenu. Ke asher solechem anaknu. Le asher ashmilanu. Vial tevienu le de masa. Keim hazilanu min hara. Kilaha hamamlaka. Ve hagivara ve hativ eret. Le olame le olamim. Amen.
Got a question for you off the bat.
Okay.
What do you do about the people that have been forced to take it and they know it's a poison?
Forced to take what? The virus?
Vaccine, and they know it's a poison.
That's when you say, that's why, you know, the whole thing that God gave me was, Pastor Ben asked me, I think about 9:40 at night, hey, Pastor Sandy, I think you should say something about the coronavirus tomorrow. Okay, I will. I had no idea that I was going to say anything about the coronavirus. God put it on Pastor Ben's heart. He called me. I said, okay, well, let me pray and see what God wants me to say. I what I was given to say in prayer to the Lord about what to say was in accordance with the truth.
Amen.
The warning in that video got a million plus hits, right?
Yep.
So me and Pastor Ben has never had a million hits. I never went viral. So obviously somebody else had their hand in this 10-minute, 16-second video, right?
Yep.
And it wasn't my plan to go viral. But God wanted people to know something. And what was it, what was it that he wanted them to know? Do not take any vaccines, because poison is in the vaccines, okay? Even if they get a celebrity to say, we're here and we're taking our vaccines, and see, it's perfectly safe. They're not taking the vaccine that they want you to take, okay? And I'm saying, and when I said that, remember, I said this world to the whole world. I'm not talking to America, because
right.
It seems that President Trump has an understanding that that's what they were trying to do, to push the numbers up and then implement the vaccine and the lockdowns and all of that stuff. Well, now he's talking about, hey, we should be back in order by Resurrection Sunday. And so we'll see, but I know one thing, it is gonna disappear. And God's fear is that, well, not God's fear, but God's understanding is that when it all settles down, people who know Jesus that are scared now, that are going, oh, I gotta pray and I gotta get my life together. It looks like the end of the world. Because it's easy to do that when it looks like it, right?
Right.
It's hard to live for God when everything's going smooth, okay? So I always say you should pray twice as much when things are going well.
Yeah.
Because when things are going bad, we know it's easy to pray, but you should pray twice as much when things are going well and praise as much when things are going well. Okay? So the warning is do not take any vaccines. What happens if you take a vaccine right now and you've already done it? Pray. Because you don't know what's going on in your body. You're saying, I trust this company that they would make me a vaccine to help me and not to harm me. And usually the virus has to be in the vaccine, because that's what a flu virus is. It has a flu virus in it, and it's trying to train your body to fight against it, okay? So I'm just saying, we're in some crazy times now. If you're born again and you took the vaccine and you didn't live through it, then we'll see you when we get up there, because you're definitely still going to be at the party.
Right.
don't let them think that they can drive us into fear that God is not watching over us or keeping us. Okay, but don't get caught up in this, because I'm telling you, you got to pray more and be on your face more with God in these days. But what is going to happen is going to happen. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Everything is going to settle down.
Yep.
People are going to go back to doing what they normally do. The bars will be open. People will congregate. I can see this crazy world doing a celebration party to go out and hit the streets and party, because that's what people who don't know God do. Okay? But I'm talking to the people of God. What are you going to do? Because now you are in the 120th year.
Wow.
Okay?
Pastor, I got one for you.
Yes.
This is from Melinda. I can't pronounce her last name. B-L-A-C-H-O-U. Pastor Ben, I read in the article in the Greek newspaper that said they are considering to put blood plasma in the vaccines from people who got over the virus.
They're gonna try. But what did the Lord have me to speak? The beginning of the message was the same as the ending. Do not take the vaccine, okay? Nobody can force you to take a vaccine, okay? You can say no, they can say, you know what, you're gonna go to jail if you, or we gotta quarantine you, or you're gonna, I mean, you're gonna have, but listen to what I'm saying. This is going to die out, okay? The body of Christ is in the world. This is going to die out, okay? This is, I'm not trying to warn you about what to do right now. I'm trying to warn you what to do while we're in the midst of it and what to do after, because it's going to die out. And now the whole world's going to be in worse trouble. You know why? Because they still don't know they're in the 120th year. They have no clue that this scripture, which I'm about to read to you, in Genesis chapter 6, that says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then it says, then after this, Jesus comes and says, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So let's see what happened at the end of the 120th year. It says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day, on the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were open, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. That 40 days and 40 nights is the trouble that the world is going to see when the church leaves. And the church is going to leave. And so our decision making is, am I leaving with the church, or am I going to say, oh, look, it's over with, I can go back to doing what I was doing before this whole thing, because now I'm not scared anymore. See, I knew it was just a short thing, you know. It was like 9/11, now it's over. Let's go back to party. So my thing is to tell you to be prepared, because Jesus Christ already told us it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Eric sent me a Bible study last night that expressed the generation of the 70 years plus, or it could be 80, but we fly away. And so the maximum of it being the 80 years, and from 1948 to 2000 or to 2007, which would end the tribulation after the rapture, he said falls right in line with the 120 year prophecy of the tribulation beginning, the rapture and the tribulation beginning. So I really appreciate the Bible study that he did. I'll try to show it to you more in depth, maybe on a Wednesday night. But I thought it was a very good Bible study. I found it very good because it agrees with both prophecies. Because you can't dismiss the 120th year, and that's this. And you can't dismiss that Jesus said it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So we're in the 120th year. And we can't, and maybe we can't dismiss the fact of the 70 years or 80, but then we fly away, okay? So we will see. But right now we're in the 120th. I'm looking for the floodgates to open up. I'm looking to be locked inside of the ark, and I'm looking for the going up to happen, because the 120th Psalm is the Psalm of going up, of ascension. Amen. Okay. I want to read something, because this is really what the Lord, the new start. Okay, I'm reading this from Esdras, and I'm really reading it to the Lord. I mean, because the Lord wants me to read this, okay? So I'm going to read this. It's in Esdras chapter 15, okay? I'm going to read 15, 3 through 9. Then I'm going to read 26 and 27. And I think that's... I'm sorry. Let's start here. Okay, here you go. Are you ready? Okay. It says this, I want to say that to President Trump, this would really be a word to him, because there is a plot against you. And there are a lot of unbelievers that hate you, okay? There are a lot of believers that hate you. because the media is very good.
Yeah.
Okay? And it says, but do not fear the plot against you, and do not be troubled by the unbelief of those who oppose you. For every unbeliever shall die in unbelief. Behold, says the Lord, I bring evil upon the world, the sword of famine and death and destruction. For iniquity has spread throughout every land, and their harmful deeds have reached their limit. Therefore, says the Lord, I will be silent no longer concerning ungodly deeds which they proudly commit, neither will I tolerate wicked practices. Behold, innocent and righteous blood cries out to me, and the soul of the righteous cry out continually. I will surely avenge them, says the Lord, and will receive to myself all the innocent blood from among you. So, all the children and everyone that have suffered under what's been going on, and God's got me on a whole new thing, and I love it. But he wants me to let you know this. Look, the last person that tried to be a good president got shot.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm not talking about Kennedy. I'm talking about Reagan tried to. But he quickly learned, you be quiet and go to sleep during the meetings. We'll run the country. Because they shot him. Okay?
Wow.
Now, we get Bush, a skull and bones member. After we get him, we get his son, a skull and bones member. Both of them satanic, okay? Then we get, after that, before them, we had Clinton.
Yep.
Completely satanic, and his wife, completely satanic. So you get the Clintons, then you get the Bushes, then you get Obama, completely satanic.
Yeah.
You get 9/11 during that time, and God says, the 200 generals say, we've had enough. We've got to, if we're going to save America, we're going to have to do something.
Yeah.
So a guy whose fame is a TV show called The Apprentice or something.
Yeah,
was. Never been a mayor. Never been a congressman. All he's been is a businessman, right?
Right.
And he becomes president. And we say, how did that happen? And all those satanic presidents, from the Clintons to the Bushes to Obama, Hillary, all of them are saying, how did it happen that this guy, who is not, Newt Gingrich says he hasn't gone through any of the rituals, so that's why he's not going to win.
Hmm.
And he won anyway, okay? Colin Powell said he has not gone through any of the rituals, so we have to get rid of him. So, in all of these evil people are saying, we don't want this guy to be in power. He gets in power, and what happens? There's a Russian collusion. Then they find out, okay, that was fake. Then they say, well, let's try to impeach him. Well, we got this phone call. They lie about the phone call. So then that doesn't happen. So then, after that, things are easing up. So they said, okay, so now it's time to start getting these people arrested and doing what we decided to do, arrest some of these people. The arrest happens, and something that was small in China and to a few countries immediately in 3 days hit the whole world. Everything shut down. We're not doing anything because you're out arresting people. Now, we get to this point where they couldn't do the virus the way they want because you got many Christians around the world that are praying.
Yes.
Okay? So then they couldn't really do it the way they wanted to do it because remember, Bill Gates said 65 million was their hope of people dying from this virus. And it's not going to happen because they're about to clear it up and then clean it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, where are we at right now? God gave you the opportunity to see that evil people can control the whole world. So what if they said, no, there can be no church, there can be no Christians, anyone with a Bible will be arrested, you know? And the only reason they can't do all that is because the church is still here and the Holy Spirit is still here. And nothing can happen until the apostasia happens. And I don't mean the falling away from Jesus. I mean the defection from earth, the leaving of earth. Nothing can happen until that. And then the Antichrist will come. And then people will see true tribulation.
It's gonna be bad, bad.
Okay?
Pastor, someone said it was Newt Gingrich, not Colin Powell.
No, Colin Powell. Actually, look up Colin Powell's email concerning President Trump. He was also very adamant about him not being president. So Colin Powell is also in it too. He's a brother, but I gotta tell the truth on him. So, well, he's not my real brother. Okay, so now, this is also from the book of Ezra, chapter 16. And it says, behold, famine, plagues, tribulation, anguish are sent as a scourge for the correction of men. So God says there is going to come a real famine, a real plague, and a real tribulation, and anguish are sent as a scourge for the correction of men. It says, yet for all this, they will not turn from their iniquities. So God, I don't want to go against God and say, oh, if you hear this message, you'll just give your life back to Christ. Or when this tragedy is over, everybody will go back to Christ. Because God is telling me, yet for all this, they will not turn from their iniquities, nor be always mindful of the scourge. Behold, during the tribulation, I believe this. I'm thinking that this is during, it says, behold, provision will be so cheap upon the earth that men will imagine that peace is assured for them. And then the calamity shall spring up on the earth, sword, famine, and confusion. So God is saying, it's going to get better before it gets worse. You understand?
Yeah.
They're talking about a reset, a package. Whatever they do that tells you peace and safety, mm-hmm. don't you believe it, because there's no peace and safety until Jesus comes back to this earth. Amen. You understand? So, but there are going to be moments now that they're going to say things are getting better. Okay. It doesn't change the way I walk with Christ.
Right.
But I can imagine that someone come forth and say, wow, we're going to reset the economy. We're going to give you all this money and we're going to make sure everything is going well for everybody. Peace and safety. We've arrested all of the bad people. And then now everybody's going to go, yay, we did it. We conquered the cabal. This could happen. We conquered the cabal and we have this whole thing going on. And now we can have peace and safety. We finally did it. And you forget.
Yep.
Genesis 6:3 that says your time, God will not always contend for your affections and for your obedience. He will not always strive with you, but you had 120 years from the 1900 to 2020 is the end of your 120 years. You're looking for rain now. You're not looking for peace.
Yes.
And it says, for many of those who live on the earth shall perish by famine. And those who survive the famine shall die by the sword. And the dead shall be cast out like dung, and there shall be no one to console them, for the earth shall be left desolate, and its cities shall be demolished. So God is saying tribulation is coming. I could go in the book of Revelation and read to you the exact same thing. After they see all the calamity, it says they still didn't repent. There was a great earthquake that killed all of these people in the book of Revelation. And it says, even after, it said they still did not repent or turn from their ways. Why? Because if your heart is evil and you hate God, it's not a calamity is not going to change the way you feel.
That's true.
It's not going to change the way you think. It's not going to change the way you feel, because you, repentance and accepting of Jesus Christ and receiving his Holy Spirit is what changes our hearts. Okay? If you don't have Jesus Christ, who was that telling me the other day? Somebody 80 years old, an old playboy, 80 years old with girlfriends.
What?
Buying young girls. I mean, you know, like 50, 60. He's still slutting around just like he would have done if he was 25 or 30, right? Before people get their senses, I guess, 20s and 30s. Anyway, I said, well, that's an absolute shame. But I said, you know what it proves? That age doesn't bring wisdom.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit brings wisdom.
Yeah.
You understand? You can be an old nut because age is not going to teach you to be a better person. Okay?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit changes us and gives us the power to live right. And that's why you need to accept Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay. So, this is what the Lord says to them. Surely he knows, God knows your imagination and what you think in your heart. Woe to those who sin and want to hide their sin. Now, this to me is talking to Christians or non-believers. Woe to those who sin and want to hide their sins, because the Lord will strictly examine all their work and will make a public spectacle of you. And when your sin come before men, you shall be put to shame, and your own iniquities shall stand as your accuser on that day.
Yes.
What will you do? Or how will you hide your sin before God and his angels? Behold, God is judge. Fear him. Cease from your sins. Forget your iniquities, never to commit them again, so God will lead you forth and deliver you from all tribulation.
Amen.
Not 3.5 years of tribulation.
Oh.
If you stop sinning, he will deliver you from all tribulations. Esdras, I think that's chapter 16, verse 63 through 67. So if you stop sinning, or you stop being lukewarm, it says God will deliver you from all tribulation.
Yes.
And then the rest of it is about Israel, letting Israel behold, hear my elect, and says the Lord, behold, the day of tribulation is at hand. You hear that?
Amen.
The day of tribulation is close. Excuse me for 1 minute. Hakol havarim beYisrael, ane yodia. Atem lo mevin be Yeshua HaMashiach. Aval Yeshua bishvilichem. Yeshua is for you, okay? You don't have to go through tribulation. I know you don't believe in them because of your tradition and your rabbis, but you, because you're Jewish, doesn't mean you have to go through the tribulation.
Amen.
You go through the tribulation because there are many Jews that are Messianic Jews who will never see the tribulation. So to all Jews, Yeshua HaMashiach, it's for them, right? It's for you. So accept Jesus Christ and don't go through these next 7 years and say, I accepted the Messiah that came, that was written in my scriptures and told me that unto you a son is born, unto you a son is born, right?
Amen.
A child is born, a son is given. And the governments of the world shall be upon whose shoulder? On his shoulder. They won't even let you read Isaiah chapter 53, Parak Ashur. It is a forbidden chapter among your rabbis. And it should not be, because Isaiah 53 talks completely about the Messiah, that he will die for the sins of his people. And so, Yeshua HaMashiach Bishvilechem, he's for you, okay? He's not just for the Gentiles, but God is going to take the church out because of the rejection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay. But he says, look, behold, the day of tribulation is at hand. And he says, and I will deliver you out of it.
Yes.
I'm not talking to Gentiles now. So don't say, oh, the Bible says I'll survive the tribulation. The Bible says Israel will survive the tribulation.
Right.
And he will watch over Israel. And in the middle of the tribulation, he will provide a way for them to escape and to go out of the land and be protected for the 3.5 years of war. Yeah. For Israel, none of the plans of God have changed. He's going to save he's going to develop a church, take the church out, and rescue Israel with the church when he comes back. Nothing's changed. Amen. Okay? So it says here, woe to those who are choked by their sins and overwhelmed by their iniquities, as a field is choked with underbrush and its path overwhelms with thorns, so that no one can pass through. It is shut off, given up to be consumed by fire. So God's saying, look, don't let your sins overwhelm you.
Yeah.
The humility of repentance is so beautiful.
Yes.
What did God tell me the other day? He said, Sandy, do this. He said, breathe in. I stopped and I went, and he said, what was that? And I said, air, Lord, breath. He said, no, that was opportunity. You still breathing, you can still humble yourself and repent, okay? Because God wants as many people to miss the tribulation as possible, okay? If your heart is evil now, it's gonna be evil then, okay? Now, where are we at in this scriptures? We're at the 120th year, okay? And we are the world is about to enter tribulation. Jesus Christ promised two things to happen in the 120th year. The first thing he said, two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. That's the first thing that's going to happen in the 120th year. The next, now, once we leave, okay, the next big event for the church is heaven.
Yep.
The next big event for the world is tribulation.
Yes.
So, and I forgot to say yesterday, Pastor Ben, at the end of where everybody's in heaven and we're cheering and we're praising God, and then the sky burst open with fireworks and everybody started cheering and praising God more. It calmed down, Pastor Ben, and this is what the Lord said. It was like the voice of your mother on a calm, beautiful day. Then the Lord said, did you like that? And everybody started cheering again. And everybody started cheering again. I said, Lord, how could I forget that? That was the best part of the vision that you gave me. We heard your voice.
Amen.
And it wasn't a voice of fear. It was a voice of, like your mother saying, are you hungry? He said, did you like that?
Wow.
And everybody who was all the singers and the musicians were praising God, and all the people were praising God. And then that's when I put my head down, because I was almost in tears, and I said to myself, is this forever? Like, really?
Really?
Really? Because what God has planned for the body of Christ is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
What God has planned for the righteous people is absolutely beautiful. He's already taken the Old Testament saints, and they're already in heaven with resurrection bodies. And now he's getting ready to take the church and give us resurrected bodies. And then we will be in heaven, and that's the next great event for the church. But the world, ooh, it's gonna be seriously bad for the world. And this is why I'm saying it. I watch your behavior, the world. I watch your behavior during this crisis. People are scared, Pastor Dan.
They are
scared. People don't know what's going to happen next. People are talking about, oh, are they going to quarantine us? Are they going to make us all take vaccines? Are they going to have a military lockdown of the city? Is this going to be turned into martial law? Everybody is scared, and you're not even in the tribulation.
No.
Okay. So. But humility and accepting Christ is your answer.
Amen.
Okay? Don't let your sin and your lack of relationship with God lead you into tribulation. I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 20.
Isaiah 20?
No, we're going to be in Psalms chapter 120. Okay. Yep. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 120. And we're going to see what's going to happen in the 120th year. Is Israel going to be in trouble in the 120th year? Yes, they are. Is the world going to be in trouble in the 120th year? Yes, they will. Okay? You said, when is it going to happen this year? I am not getting into that, but I can give you some good markers, okay? Days to look for. First of all, 14 days from now is Passover. And I would love for it to be just as it was in the book of Joshua. On Passover, Joshua stood, they stood in the middle and they divided the water, and all of the children of Israel passed through the water onto the other side, and they were in on the other side on Passover. I would love for it to happen 14 days from now.
Amen.
Then there's another scripture that says it happened in the second month on the 17th day, and if it's going to be just like it was, then we're looking like May 11th. And I'm like, that would even be nice. Mm-hmm. Or we're looking at Pentecost, which is not far from that. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. Or we're looking at a spring wedding, yeah. which is talked about in the Song of Songs. It's talked about in the Song of Songs. And it seems as if God just said, I think I'm gonna have a spring wedding. And that would be nice, okay? What I'm telling you is, you're in the 120th year now, okay? It's like Noah getting a message from God, and God said, in the 120th year, your day shall be 120 years, and when the 120 years over, I want you to build the ark, and then go into the ark in the 120th year, because floodgates are going to open, and judgment is going to begin on the church, okay? And Noah says, okay. And he begins doing this. I think at the 120th year, because it didn't happen till the second month and the 17th day, I think Noah went out and said, hey, everyone, all you sinners, I want you to know God told me it would happen in the 120th year. Just want you to know we're there. And you know what they said? There he goes again. Who's that? That ark builder over there. Don't worry about him. Let's go back to partying. Okay? And I'm sure he came out for the next month and said, I keep telling you people, it's the 120th year. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm telling you right now, this is the year that God said that the floodgates are going to open. Mm-hmm. And the people were like, oh, whatever. But he got only what? Seven of his family members and himself, and they got on the ark. And God closed the door, and the rain began to fall. And you know what I realized, and someone told me last night? When it first started raining, people just went, oh, this is, look, water's coming out of the sky. And then the second day, oh my God. Third day, they're like, this water's getting a little bit too hard, right? Uh-huh. The fifth day, they're like, okay, oh, there's a guy who built a boat. Mm-hmm. Then they rush to the boat. What I read to you from the book of Jasher the other day, a couple of weeks ago. Then they started saying, this water is getting unbearable. Throw the rope over and let us in. It's too late. Once it started raining and God locked the boat, the door was shut.
Yeah.
Okay? So my warning is to the world. My love is to the body of Christ. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you you can't stop sinning, which is what one of the brothers posted on this thing. Repent and turn from your sins is a lie. Nobody can turn from their sins, and you don't have to repent to accept Christ. And you can't stop sinning, so why is this guy saying that you can stop sinning? God said you can stop sinning. God said you can come in relationship. God says you can't accept him until you repent. So everything he's telling these people that they can't do, God has already told them that they could.
Amen.
So you're not going against Pastor Sandy, you're going against the not biblical. No one can repent. And you can't stop sinning. So don't even try.
See,
right?
That's crazy.
And but Paul says, I die daily.
Amen.
Okay? So I don't know if you're trying to get people to not put forth effort or you're trying to get people to relax in their sins, but I want everyone to know, once you're saved, you are saved by grace.
Yes.
And I love the Greek lexicon last night. It said, grace is nothing but patience. And I thought about that because I think I told you guys this before. I went in, I was a manager, a quality assurance manager for a finance company, and they asked me for a project. And I finished the audit project, but it wasn't done properly. It wasn't done complete. And he says, I needed this today, okay? But my boss said, who was a VP of the company, said, this is what I'm going to do, Sandy. I'm going to grace you another week and push back the meeting.
Wow.
He's not even saved. But he said, I'm going to grace you another week and push back the meeting. And I want you to bring in this audit complete. The next week, that thing was done beautifully. But you know what? I said to him, thank you for your patience with me. And he said, no problem, you did a good job.
Wow.
He understood it was grace, favor, and kindness.
Yeah.
I understood it was patience to get it right.
Amen.
And I hope you understand your walk in Christ. Okay, in the first year of this, this tragic event called the tribulation, and I was looking for it, but I don't have it, and I'm not going to look for it any longer. The first year of this tragic event, I want you to know, as soon as the church leaves, you know where Satan's going to head? Israel.
Yep.
The force that kept us from doing what we wanted to do is now gone. So
they're going to get ignorant.
They're going to immediately run to Israel, okay? And it says this. In Psalms 120, it says, a psalm of ascent. What's ascent? Going up. This is the year that the church will go up. It says, I call on the Lord in my distress, Israel says, and he answered me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrow and with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me, Israel will say. I dwell in Meshech, in darkness. It's like a flood of darkness. It says in Meshech that I live among the tents of Kedar, which is, so he said, I'm living in a flood of darkness, okay? And it says, too long I have lived among those who hate peace. Is that what Israel is living in? He said, too long I've lived among those who hate peace. And now they're attacking them when what year? The 120th year, which is 2020. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they want war.
Yes.
Okay? Because as soon as we leave, they're going to attack Israel. Psalms 120. I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where my help comes from? My help comes from the Lord and the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one who is going to help Israel when they go to war after the church leaves. After the church leaves, in Psalms 122, this is what, when the Antichrist comes forward, he's going to do for Israel. He's going to build the third temple. You know who's going to love him? Two people are going to love him because I'm going to educate you. Israel is going to love him, and they're going to believe that that Antichrist is now the Christ. He has to be the Christ because he's rebuilt the temple. And what else has he done? He's brought peace.
Yes.
He must be the Messiah, right?
Yes.
So now they believe he is the Messiah, and now he's going to build the temple. And then it says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gate, O Jerusalem. So in the year 2022, they will be rebuilding the temple. Yeah. And they will rejoice and say, let us go to the house of the Lord. In 23, because they built the temple, is the world going to not hate them? No. In 23, he says, I lift up my eyes to you, whose throne is in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hands of her mistress. It says, so our eyes look to the Lord, our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. The hatred still continued in 2023. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. Oh my goodness. So now the anger continues against Israel. They have their temple, but they realize the world's attitude toward Israel has not changed. Why? Because Satan still hates Israel.
Yep.
What does he want to do? You got the temple, you're doing sacrifices again, you're practicing your religion, but you're still worshiping the God of heaven, and the Antichrist is like, I want to be your God.
Yep.
So he goes to the temple and sits in the temple and declares himself to be their God.
Yes.
And what do? They said, no way. And because they do this, what happens? Psalms 124. This is the middle of the tribulation. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when the anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept us, the raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord. So in the middle of the tribulation, Satan spills out a flood of water against Israel, a flood of trouble, a flood of war. And God says that war will continue till the end. That war will continue to the end, okay? So understand that now in the middle of the tribulation, since they won't bow down to the Antichrist, God gives them a way of escape.
Yes.
And many of the Jews leave, and God gives them a place to hide. Okay. And now in Psalms 25, it says those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endure forever. So God declares, I've saved you. You are Israel. You are my people, and you will endure forever.
Yes.
Okay? So Israel will be protected through the tribulation.
Yes.
The tribulation is not for Gentiles. Those who will be killed must be killed. Those who will be slaughtered must be slaughtered. Understand? Those who go into bondage must go into bondage. Revelation says there's no protection for you. There's protection for Israel. So as a Gentile believer in Yeshua, you're not supposed to be there. Non-believers, you're not supposed to be there because the tribulation was not designed to protect you. It was designed to protect Israel so that they can see that the one who they pierced is their God when he returns.
Amen.
Now we're in Psalms 126. And this is 2026. Now, when you read through this whole thing, it says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Okay? Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues and songs of joy. So in 1948, they said, we came back here singing and rejoicing over this nation. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things to them. So the whole world saw what God did for Israel in 1948 and 1967, and they rejoiced. And it said, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. And it says, restore fortune, O Lord. Now they're asking God to restore the fortune. Restore to us the joy that we had when we first came back. Why? Because they're in the middle of the tribulation. And some of them have to hide. And the Antichrist is coming against them. Okay? But he says, restore to us the joy that we once had. So then Christ says to them, he says, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He tells them, don't worry, you're sowing tears, but you're about to reap joy. Why? Because he who left weeping and crying and carrying seed to sow will return with songs of joy, carrying his sheaves with him. So he says, when I come back, I'm bringing my harvest with me. The harvest I took from the earth, I'm bringing it back with me. So here we are, Christ is returning with his sheaves with him. The wheat harvest and the barley harvest are on white horses behind Christ as he returns.
Amen.
This is the very end of Psalms 126. So the beginning of Psalms 127, unless the Lord build the house, its builder labors in vain. Unless the Lord watch over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early, stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from him. So what is he about to do? Israel is about to birth their own children. Because before, Israel birthed a son.
Amen.
You understand? Israel birthed a son before she went into tribulation. But now that Christ has come back and rescued, he says now, sons of heritage are from the Lord, and the children are a reward for him. So now he comes back and destroys them, and he produces his own children, which is the nation of Israel.
Wow.
Those who were taken out of the land, Ezra says in the book of 2nd Ezra, God protected them in the wilderness. And he said, those who stayed in the gate of Israel, God will also rescue them.
Yes.
Okay? So understand, the rescue is for Israel, not for Gentiles.
Amen.
Not for lukewarm Christians, not for Christians with no oil in their lamp, not for Christians who, yeah, you know, I'm kind of Christian sometime when it benefits me, and then I'm kind of not a Christian when it doesn't benefit me. Well, I'm a Christian when there's stress because I need them, but I'm not when things are going well because I'm partying. And, you know, we try to do that. And then, well, I really tried to be a Christian, but since I couldn't stop sinning, I realized that once I'm saved, I'm always saved, so I'm just going to be me. And so whatever suicide brain thing you got going up there, The book of Ezra says this is your problem. You and your brain grow up together, and you become someone who can reason.
Amen. Amen.
And you reason within yourself a way to continue sinning and still say you're a Christian. Mm. Okay? Get rid of your reasoning and fall into repentance, yes, and get under God's authority and do things His way. Seek the kingdom of God and His way of doing things.
Yes.
Okay? That is what you need, okay? Then all things will be added to you. But you got to fall. There's nothing wrong with being obedient. Jesus had to do it.
Yes.
He couldn't save us without obedience.
Amen.
And you think it was easy? Jesus is like, well, once I'm born in the world, I'm Messiah when I came in. I'll be Messiah. So I'm just going to fall. You know, don't let your brain, because this is very intellectual. God gave you a brain to think. The problem is, if your thinking isn't in line with the Word of God, then you're going to fall into a pit.
Yeah.
So you got to bring your intelligent thinking, like I've discovered that you just got to be you. That has to come under line with God, right?
Amen.
I'm an individual and I'm a free thinker. That has to be rebuked and come in line under the Word of God, okay? So don't be so smart that you outsmart yourself right out of the kingdom, right into hell, okay? Don't be that smart. Repentance is a beautiful thing. Oh man, I remember when I came back from Canada and I fell on my knees and repented. And man, I said, thank you, Lord, for protecting me while I was being stupid. And I said, thank you for all the times you pulled me out of jail. I want to thank you that you brought me back here. And I want to thank you, Father God, for my new wife. I want to thank you, Father God. I want to thank you for bringing someone into my life that would love you the way I love you. And he did everything that I asked him. And all he told me was this. First thing I need you to do, Sandy, I thank you that you repented. It's good you repented. Go get the magazines from underneath your bed and throw them in the trash because they're going to embarrass you.
Wow.
So I took my magazines and I threw them in the trash and I began this day of repentance. I didn't go, but I don't have a wife yet and those magazines are my friends. Yeah, let me tell you something. When your body wants to sin, you come up with reasons why you have to continue sinning. I threw them things out, put them in the trash. I repented. God said he brought someone in my life. She was in backslidden and she repented with me. And we went back to church together and started living our lives for Christ together. So don't tell me if you repent, God won't turn around and give you a gift. Because that's what he did for me. I repented and God said, now everything that I was going to do to you, I'm not going to do to you. Mm. But now I'm going to bless you. Repentance is a beautiful thing. And I'm sorry about the magazine story, if you bugs any of you. But truth needs to be told. Because some people want to think like, oh, Pastor Sandy has never had any problems with Pastor Sandy was a sin mess. Okay? And so I'm telling you, repentance is beautiful. God cleared my mind and got me prepared to be a pastor and to teach the Word of God. Then he taught me Hebrew. It's just incredible. I just don't even see how all this happened. So that's the end of today's message. I don't know if we have questions today.
Oh, yeah. We did, but there, I lost them.
Okay. All right. Sorry, questions. You got to save your questions for the end, because if you do your questions in the beginning while I'm in the middle of speaking, we'll be waiting to the end to do those questions.
But Pastor, I'm telling you, right now we're just live from Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Belgium. From Germany.
Wow, Germany. I went viral in Germany.
I couldn't even keep up with all the places.
That's crazy.
That they're
yeah.
From. It's just so many.
So many nations. You know, Pastor Ben already prophesied it to me. God had me write it down before that we would speak to the nations concerning these times, right?
Yeah.
And so now God has placed us in position right now to be in every nation preaching the gospel. And what am I preaching? I'm trying to get you and prepare you to leave. Amen. I'm trying to get you to repent and being in line with God so that you're prepared to leave. I'm trying to let you know that you are in the 120th year so that you will be prepared to leave. Because when the trumpet blows, you want to be ascent.
Yeah.
You want to be in the psalm of ascent. You want to sing and go up.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen.
Let me say this. Nova Scotia, Canada.
Oh, that's where my daughter was born.
England,
uh-huh.
Alberta.
Wow.
Oklahoma. Ooh. Trinidad.
Wow.
Trinidad, New Mexico.
Wow.
Hold on, Pastor, because they've been hitting us up since we've been, Romania.
Wow.
Hold on.
My favorite opera singer is from Romania.
I know. Romania from, and by the way, there was an earthquake in Texas, 5.0. And so we don't
okay.
know what's going on there.
We don't know what's going on.
Mm-mm. From, I'm just getting to them. Oh my goodness, Pastor, so many.
Wow.
Well, anyway,
you can't pronounce all those names.
There's about 30 or 40
different countries.
Yeah.
Wow. And states.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just awesome. Upper Michigan just chimed in.
Praise God.
Just a lot of people from around the world. God fulfilled his.
Everyone around the world. Listen to me. You are all around the world. Understand this. The rapture is about to happen.
Yes.
The rapture is about to happen. Okay. This is the year of the flood.
Yes.
So prepare yourself. Stay ready. Stay in Christ.
Yes.
Pray for your loved ones. Right?
Yes.
Okay. And I will see you all at the cloud party.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's pray out, Pastor Ben.
Amen. South Africa.
Hallelujah. South Africa.
Romania.
Wow.
There's so many. God bless everybody.
Okay. God bless you all. And let's pray out. Where's my prayer? Here we go. My glasses, because they help. Okay. To all the people of God, I want to do exactly what Moses did for the people of Israel. I want to say the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarechaka Adonai veYishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavilecha vechunecha. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha veyasim lekai shalom. Shalom, everybody. Le'itrio b'shavua chaba. Or I will see you at the cloud party.
Amen.
God bless you.
Shalom. Shalom.
Poland.
Wasaga Beach.
Wow.
Amen and amen.
God bless you, Poland. And Wasaga Beach. What's that, Pastor Ben?